Council meeting for Tuesday, March 26, 2019 at 9 a.m. is hereby called to order. I would like to welcome everyone here today. We have a full gallery today. We have some announcements that I would like to make this morning. If you have electronic devices, I would ask you to please turn them to the silent mode. We have an accessible washroom directly outside of Council Chambers door, directly to the left. We have regrets today from Councillor Kevin Muse and Councillor Raymond Fisk. Moving on to 2.0, I have no changes or additions to the agenda today. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda today? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion to accept the agenda as circulated. Moved by Councillor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Fancy. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 3.0 presentations. We have no presentations today. Tabling of petitions under 4.0. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions to file today. 5.0 public question comment session. We do allow members of the gallery to speak up to 5 minutes. Please state your name and your address, please. Thank you. Leo?
Yeah, Leon Roberts, College Street, Liverpool. A couple of questions and a comment. What are utility budget? Is the rate on water utility rates are going to remain the same this year?
Correct.
Okay. And the gas tax rebate, according to the press from the federal budget, that's going to be almost doubled this year. So that'll certainly help out with projects such as water and sewer. Is that correct?
We will utilize the gas tax refund if it's increased according to the budget this year for our infrastructure projects within the region of Queens, and it certainly is a benefit to the region of Queens and its citizens.
And on here you have a session there with respect to the three-way stop in the post office. And I remember years ago we had the lights there and they took them over, the track and trailer took them out and they weren't replaced. But the three-way stop seems to be working quite well. I think the biggest problem there is that the park in front of the post office, there was an accident there last week. One person was backing up, the other one was coming in, and they came together apparently when I drove by them. So that seems to be the dangerous part there, you can get out. But the lights in there, I remember when the light was red, you couldn't turn and back up, and you couldn't back up to the post office. So I don't know how you use it earlier, but I have some suggestions today.
There will be a discussion on it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leo.
David Haskin from 60 Church Street. I'd like to thank you very much. The public washroom is very nice.
Thank you, Mr. Huskins. Yeah, Mr. Clark?
My name is Christopher Clark. My address is 34 Bootlegger Road, Liverpool. I might be the only person here who is going to speak in favor of the fish farm project, and I may not get out of here in one piece to half I've done that. That having been said, I'm very, very encouraged by the reports I'm hearing of the discussions between the Medway River Association, Cook, I understand Dalhousie University, Department of Fisheries, which hopefully will lead to a salmon restoration project in the Medway River. I think that opportunity has been here for 3, maybe 4 years. Certainly, I was involved in discussions with it previously. I'm pleased to see that it's moving ahead, or to hear that it's moving ahead. And I'm pleased to see that Cook is now starting to pay attention to this area where it's neglected us for a long time. That has been my big criticism heretofore of the applications they've made, that they have really done nothing to grow the economy of Queens. It looks as though they are heading in that direction. I've done a lot of soul searching on where one should stand on the increased fish farms in Liverpool Bay. Certainly the record of the fish farm at Coffin Island over the years has been a good one. And there will be people who will talk about 10,000 dead salmon and so on. But they're probably not people who have grown up in an agricultural environment, people who have been in livestock raising. And I have had that in my background amongst other things. And to lose 2 to 3% of your stock, certainly it would be very common in the poultry industry to be losing that kind of thing. However, despite that, I think that, and I've walked Peach Meadows Beach, and I have done for pushing 60 years, and it is no less pristine, apart from the one, if you look across there, you can obviously see the fish farm. But the beach is as nice to walk on, except for the damage that has been done by storms, which can't be attributed to the fish farm, though I'm sure that there are some who will attribute to them. But if you hold crop to account and insist that its standards are as high as they have been on Coffin's Island, I don't think that the 30 acres that they're looking for in the enormous expanse of Liverpool Bay is an unreasonable request. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Any other gallery would like to speak today?
This would be a great segue for me, if you don't mind. My name is Brian Muldoon. I'm out of Sword Park, protect Liverpool Bay, but I'm here on my own today. I live at 980 Brooklyn Shore Road, and I have a property at 968 Brooklyn Shore Road, which is operated as Airbnb. Unfortunately, Chris, there's a few things. I'm very frustrated. In mid-February, there was an event that occurred due to the Cook Aquaculture Coffin Island site, and the 5-foot buoy of this round broke up on our property. These are the large pieces of petroleum-based styrofoam that is spread all over our property. Oh, that's a well-managed company. That's 400,000 fish, and they can't even put a buoy down properly.
Mr. Muldoon, please address your comments to the chair.
Okay, sorry, man.
Thank you.
So they can't put a buoy in there and keep it in anchored. And we now have to face this. We have ducks, we have duck pond, we have bald eagles, we have all sorts of wildlife that are eating these beads. And this is the big pieces. There's millions of them. I wrote to you, Mayor. I wrote to the Agriculture Minister. I wrote to the Environment Minister. I didn't hear back. A little frustrated. We have dead birds sitting down there with beads of styrofoam all over them. Very frustrated from this, I wrote to all the councillors and said, did the mayor share this with you? And I never heard a word. So am I frustrated? Yes. It happened again on Sunday. Another buoy broken up on our property. And I wrote Cook, and old Cook called me. He was more concerned with that I was taking pictures and video and sending it to media than he was worried about coming in and cleaning up. If this company can't manage 400,000 fish in a Coffin Island site, how the hell are they gonna manage 1.8 million fish in our harbor? And I can't believe the complacency of Queens County. It's very frustrating. Two accidents in less than a month. Then we can go on to how many cooks has 10,000 fish died. 10,000. I've been watching them pick up the dead fish, and I've seen all the transfer trucks, and I've asked how many fish can fit on one transfer truck, because I've counted only 6 transfer trucks. That's only when I drove by. I don't sit there and watch. 1, I don't believe their numbers. 2, they said the water's too cold. If the water's too cold, why are we having a fish farm in Nova Scotia? Take it somewhere else. The next point is we met in December, the mayor and deputy mayor and Protect Liverpool Bay about the 24 questions. In that meeting, it wasn't taped, so don't quote me verbatim here. You said that you were concerned that funding from the government would not come forward because if you voiced what was happening with your constituents on this Cook Aquaculture, there's projects that you need funding for. And I thought, okay, I can get that. I can, you know, I can understand where you would come from there. But I gave it some thought and I thought, well, they can't do that. The provincial government can't say, we're not giving you money for health care or your roads because you didn't help us over here on fish farms from Keith Caldwell, the minister.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, that's extortion. Or it's against the law, put it that way. And so, do I, maybe as a member of this community, I will write the provincial government in every department and say, were you really planning not to give money for roads, health care, and other properties that Queens County want? And I'd be curious to hear what their answer is. So someone's not writing this picture. That's all I have to say. Here, millions of people.
Mr. Muldoon, I would like to briefly address a couple of your items.
Okay.
My understanding of the emails that was received in regard to your styrofoam buoy issues, Department of Environment, the Department of Fisheries and Aquaculture, as well as Cook, did remove at that time some of the materials from the buoys, to my understanding.
The pieces that were this big that I carried up onto the shore.
And I understand that they did not, from your discussion today, remove all the materials, but it was my understanding from the email trails that I was reading that they were in contact and they were addressing it, and it is not a region of Queens issue to remove that material. It's theirs, and they were looking after it, and I can't speak to how well and how good a job they did, but they were aware and active. The second part, when you allude to the fact that the provincial government would not fund us, that is an issue that every municipal unit considers and has concerns with at times. I inherited the Region of Queens mayor position after the previous mayor had went on a rant for 15 minutes, chastising the previous provincial government. It took me 7 months to get a working relationship back with the province of Nova Scotia. It's a fact of life that everybody has a different outlook on how municipal government works, and I will tell you that we want to work with citizens, but we also want to work with the provincial and federal government. So there is more to that issue than just simply legalities. We have to balance all of this. We certainly were pleased as a council to send the 24-item letter to Cooks as part of the scoping option, and although they didn't give us a full response, I would like people to keep in mind that we did not ask for a response. We asked them to put the scientific information as a result of the letter on their website, and if they did apply with an application, we wanted that to accompany the application all the way to the review board, which will make the decision on any application within Liverpool Bay, as we all are aware. It's not a decision of the Region of Queens. So we were more concerned with the science, which will direct the review board to do their job, to have that science. And if it wasn't available because Cook or Kelly Cove didn't do that science research, then the review board would question why it wasn't available where it had previously been asked. So those were some of the issues that you raised that I just want to briefly address. And we do certainly understand the frustration that many residents have with this issue. Politics have been removed from the process of aquaculture application review, and the minister has no involvement in it at this point. So that is the result of a public consultation that went on several years ago, and that's the situation. So as I say, we understand the frustration, but I wanted to just comment briefly on those. Yes, thank you. Who would like to speak next? Yes, if you would. Your name and address, please.
Oh, my name is Andrea Van Wildenberg. I live at 124 Foster Town Road, Port Redway. What is the benefit of having me here?
The province of Nova Scotia has a policy they want to expand the economy of Nova Scotia, and aquaculture is one of those vehicles they're intending to use. If locations that are suitable are located and they're properly managed, then there is an ability under the Aquaculture Act to approve facilities, and of course the province would monitor those. There is a feed mill in Nova Scotia. There are employees in Queens that work for Cook Aquaculture. There are dollars that are spent in the community on food, on fuel, on supplies, and if they do expand beyond where they have now, one would only assume that that would increase in size. I do not have those figures other than the letter that was responded to from the region of Queens by Kelly Colton Cook, states that I think they spend over $200 million in Nova Scotia. That's the information that I have, and you can certainly check our region of Queens website to verify those figures there from my memory. I'm not in charge of their balance sheet, so they sent a response. If that's the number that I'm remembering and it's correct, then that's what they're saying they're spending in Nova Scotia.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery?
Mayor, Council, my name is Annabelle Singleton. I live at 105 Medway River Road in Mill Village. I'm here as a concerned citizen and as a member of the Protect Liverpool Pool Bay Community Group. I'm not here today to make your job more difficult or because I have time on my hands. I'm here once again to speak against the proposed expansion of additional fish farms in Liverpool Bay because I believe the proposed plan will have long-term negative effects on our physical and socioeconomic worlds. To stand back and allow this fish farm expansion to go ahead unchallenged, I believe, is an injustice to our future generations. Once these fish farms have expanded even further into our communities, there will be no getting rid of them in the future. So we will need to express our concerns now before it's too late. When we leave council today, we will head to 279 Main Street, Liverpool, where we will open the new headquarters of the Protect Liverpool Bay Community Group. Our reasons for being there in this space is to allow us to share information and concerns that we have with regards to our local lobster fisheries, our tourism industry, and our future and our current property values. Cook Aquaculture has everything to gain in this deal as they take advantage of our pristine oceans, where they will grow their salmon and then take their profits back to New Brunswick, leaving us with a slimy mess of contaminated beaches, degraded marine environments, and further devastated wild salmon populations. In preparation for public hearings in front of the Nova Scotia Aquaculture Review Board, Protect Liverpool Bay has started a GoFundMe campaign with the intention of raising $50,000. So that we might understand better the true impacts of allowing these fish farms to expand in Liverpool Bay, we propose to hire experts in the field of cost-benefit analysis so that we might know the true costs, contaminations of our bay, our local lobster fishery, tourism industry, and property values, should these farms be allowed to go ahead, versus the value. What value do they actually bring to Queens? Are there actual jobs here to be had? Should the region of Queens become an intervener in the future public hearings, I would expect that this would be one of the key questions that Council would insist on answering. Should the region need to invest some taxpayer dollars in getting these answers, I would say that is money well spent. Or even the province for that matter, maybe they should be the ones offering up the information and the money so that our community members don't have to put the bill through a GoFundMe campaign. If the province is asking us to put our community on the line, our pristine beaches, our lobster fishery, then they should be telling us what's in it for us. I, for one, would still be against the fish farm for a multitude of reasons. But if you told me there were 200 jobs available, even 100 or 50, I would understand why council might be in support of this project. But without that level of information, I am left to believe there is nothing in this project for the residents of Queens County and Liverpool Bay, aside from a future misery of living with these fish farms in our midst. I therefore once again ask that council stand with us and oppose this project. And if I could add one comment, maybe two. Chris Clark and the fact that Cooks is now coming forward and offering up some economic benefit and value and putting money into the Medway Area Fish Association, that's a cop-out. They are buying the Medway River Salmon Association. And not only are they buying the Medway Area Salmon Association, they've already bought Dalhousie University. John Grant and that study that he just released, that is bought and paid for. There is so much information out there about what John Grant has said on behalf of aquaculture. That is a man not to be trusted. He is totally bought and paid for. Now, we've got other information out there from Inka Malosky, who is a seriously important scientist doing independent work. And she has worked for, what, 12 years or more with Port Mattoon Bay, with the fishermen of Port Mattoon Bay, who have documented, since those fish farms have gone in there, the decline, 45-50% of their marine species, lobsters, gone. They're gone. They had 16 fishermen fishing out of Port Mattoon Bay. Do you know how many can sustain now? One. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Issue for over 7 years. Well, since, 2012. And we discovered that, I just want to talk about the company we're dealing with. That's really what I want to talk about. And the government we're dealing with. Because they are really working hand in hand and leaving all of us to try and keep them accountable. And it's really difficult. So we discovered that they, when Cook took over the farms in Nova Scotia that were already here, they were little farms operated by local people. And they wanted to move into Nova Scotia. So all the little farms they took over, they came in and they just set in as many cages as they wanted to, with, I'm assuming, the approval of our government, because we brought it to their attention, kept trying to find out why this was happening, why they were allowed to do that. They were far outside their lease. And this one here is outstandingly oversized. They have like 4 hectares that they could realistically put 4 pens on, and look what they got out there. Now, we have been bringing this to their attention all this time, the government. So if you think that the government is going to regulate these people and enforce the regulations, you are dead wrong. What we have discovered is this little modus operandi, and this goes on with all industry. This isn't just, I mean, this is a really down to the roots problem that we have with government. Now, in our country, in our province, everywhere. And I don't know about our municipality, but I hope not. Number one, people that live right in the area where there's a problem. So me, living right next door to the fish farm, brings up the complaint to the government. They bring it up, or we bring it up with Cook. And the response is, that's not true. What you're saying is not true. You know, you're lying, or, you know, where's the evidence? I want your facts. Where's the evidence? So that's the first step. The second step is you get evidence. You get photos, you get video, you get, you know, you even ask for freedom of information, and you get it, and you bring this evidence to the government. So the next step is Cook may say, well, okay, there might be an issue, so we'll make some changes. The changes are never sufficient enough to solve the problem or affect the bottom line, essentially. So the third step is more people start recognizing that there's a problem because you brought it into the public where those people have never been aware there's been a problem. You're the person sitting next door to it, so you see the problem, right? So now you brought it to the public. So now the public starts saying, yeah, that's not right. Whatever's going on there is just not right. So they get into a protest. You get this many more people involved. And you bring that to the government, and the government then says, okay, we're going to have to do something, or we're going to lose our seats, right? So then they say, we'll change the regulations. Or they, that what they do then is change the regulations so that it suits the crimes. And we're still left with the same problem. And you have people that are getting madder and madder and madder. I mean, look at S&C 11, it's the same kind of a situation. You know, like the government is not even our government anymore. What kind of government do we have? That's not a democracy. What are we living in here? Are you guys operating in that kind of a situation? I hope not. That's all I have.
Any other?
Okay.
Yes.
The provincial government.
Your name and address,
known,
please.
Kristen Lewis from Milton, Milford Street. Our provincial government is known now for being involved in environmental racism, pollution, polluting our oceans, polluting the land, chopping down crown land way too much. And you want to be best buds with that premier? You're on the wrong side of history. We do not want pollution in Queens County. And you are going to be remembered as a polluter and a criminal. That's what I have to say to you.
And I thank you for your comment.
You're welcome.
And I would like to advise all present that we run a very respectful council meeting.
You're not
and
respectful to the environment.
You may have an opinion that you would like to express, and there are ways to express it that are meaningful as well as polite. And yes,
no.
We want a relationship with the provincial government because they are the next government level above us. We do not altogether agree with everything that the province does, the same as individuals. We have very little control of some of those issues, and I think the public understands that. We're attempting to work, we're attempting to work within a atmosphere to do the best that we can on behalf of taxpayers, and there are limitations to what municipal government can do. But I do appreciate your comments.
Can you look at these kids, and I want you to tell them how much you're going to pollute right now with Cook. Do you have a job?
I would
plan
caution
with Cook?
You. I would
Did
caution
Cook offer you a job in
Listen.
The future?
I would caution you.
I'm leaving, and I'm taking these kids to school.
I will call
Goodbye.
Over, and I would ask you to be respectful. And it is unfortunate that we have members of the public that would come and accuse this council of illegal behavior when we are not involved in such. And that is unacceptable in this council chambers. And as mayor, I am unhappy that these situations occur, but I do want to make them known to the public. Yes.
I'm Ann Laws, and I live at 19 Old Meeting House Road. Mayor, people are on the edge of their, they're on the edge because they need their voices to be heard. Now, I'm going to change the subject a little bit because I want to just have a breather because I think everybody needs it. So I'm going to offer some positive, just for the first start, though. So I want to commend the region on doing such a wonderful job hosting the World Junior Curling Championships. I was not part of that volunteer team, but any member of this community could be nothing but proud at how this event bolstered the athletes that came here. The hospitality they were shown echoed throughout the community, and that's who we are. That's who we are. That lady you just saw, that is a heart, and that's frustration, and that's a mother. Yeah. So anyway, I want to say bravo to the region and the volunteers for showing what we all know exists here, which is people who are working hard to do good things. But we have a large task ahead of us. You all do every day, Council. I know that. But we're here because we have concerns, and I'm going to go into that now. So of course I stand here personally, but also as a member of Protect Liverpool Bay. And you know, there's no denying now what Cook has intended for this area. It's out in the public. They released their proposal. It's in the government provincial departments now being reviewed. And so there's no guesswork of what they want. So I have some questions. you have all have pens and paper, because I'd like you to write them down, because I want to hear from you today. My first question, I'm gonna list them, because then I want to sit down and I'm here. Because we came so often and appealed and brought all the information that that we could find about the things that could be would be impacting this area negatively if expansion took place. So now I want to hear from council. I want to hear what you're going to do. So first off, what do you really think of this group that stands in front of you right now that is opposed to this expansion, this vocal minority? Do you think we're uneducated? Do you think that, where do you think we've got our information from that we came and brought to you? Do you think that we're all present that are opposed? This is 9 a.m. on workday. We need an evening meeting, a special one, called by council and mayor to see who's going to come out in the evening that's not working, that's going to give you some feedback. My other question is, are you aware of the connections that this group has within the province to other activists that have opened up, these connections that have opened up since this opposition became more public? We're in touch with the Alliance for the Protection of the Eastern Shore. We're in touch with Tangier Lobster. We're in touch with a commercial fisherman and sea captain in Tasmania, along other members of the activist group there. And of course, we are in touch with many who have and who are vocal and who have fought with Friends of Port Mattoon Bay. We are in touch with people in Scotland. And I mean, this is all existing. Why? Because of social media. Because of email. I mean, we're shooting messages back and forth daily to these people, to Alexandra Morton in D.C. Your group here that's standing in front of you, who are we? We're well informed and we are well connected. We may look to you like a minority, but I'll tell you, you don't get a more well informed minority than this. And we have rights. The other thing I want to say, are you acknowledging? I want to know which of you are acknowledging the tremendous cooperation that is existing between Cook and the government at every level. I want to hear who is thinking that there is a lot of cooperation going on. I don't want to hear silence. I don't want to preach anymore. I want to hear which ones of you think that our municipality perhaps has been influenced by Cook, our provincial government, our federal government. And they'll talk about John Grant and Cook establishing that research chair in sustainable aquaculture position at Dalhousie University. And that study, I want to know which of our counselors, and Mayor, I know you probably have, because I know that your interests, where your interests are in learning about environment and aquaculture. But how many of our counselors have read or are aware of the study that was just released? I want to know if you know what it says. How many of you know that although we hope that the minister has been removed from the process that we will go through for the public hearing of the Aquaculture Review Board, he hasn't been removed. He selected those people. It was an open application process to apply for those positions. But Mr. Caldwell, the Minister of Fisheries and Aquaculture, selected those people. He's not removed from the process. That's silly. Silly to think about. So then, Mayor, I also listened to you. I think you're very intelligent. I always have. One of your things that I was so relieved about, I'll say it again when I talked to you back in November, is that you had environment on your mind. So it's still, I know that's in there. I know that. And I know that you, I can't say that, but I mean, obviously we talked about the pressure that exists, thinking that municipalities won't have a good relationship with the government to stand up for their area. I don't have any faith in the process, Mayor. I'm sorry. So my other question is, will you stand up for the protection of the Liverpool Bay?
say, there is a cost to being an intervener, but I think it's worth it.
I don't believe that, as some, and I know Mayor Clark has voiced this, some others have too, that Liverpool Wood Bay will heal itself regardless of, you know, pollution that went into it with the Mersey, or I don't think that that's a reasonable argument anymore. I think that Kristen's children deserve us to be looking out for them. I think that the Minister of Fisheries and Aquaculture should be removed from selecting the Aquaculture Review Board. I don't think that we deserve to stand in front of any Aquaculture Review Board that may contain this bias. And I am sad when citizens have to take the lead on raising money to fight something that's going to hurt their area when we could have our region voiced as an intervener. I don't know if I've left anything else out, but there's times that I felt with Kristen, and I've had to rein it in. I don't want to be disrespectful. And I know that there's ways that we try to conduct ourselves so that everybody feels respected. But I do know sometimes we slip. So I'll ask for understanding today.
Thank you, Dan. I would like to respond to Anne, if I may. We have a later agenda meeting item on aquaculture, and that would be the appropriate location for any councillor to have their discussion on any of the questions and items you spoke about earlier, as the public comment section is not applicable for that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and councillor. My name is Shirley Shaw. I live at 382 Shore Road in Brooklyn. The past 36 years, when we first moved to Brooklyn, our children and we all proceeded to go into scuba diving. And we used to play in the harbor, and we have a boat and play around. The harbor was dead, absolutely dead, from our shore to Mersey Point. There was nothing because of bow waters. It took, I'm guessing, 15 plus years, I didn't clock it, to get eelgrass back on my shores. It's there now. I got up this morning, I looked out, oil, like the water was just perfect. Eagles were sitting on the rocks, the seagulls, lots of place for wildlife to be there. We're talking about these fish farms, and I listen from Ann, I listen from other people. Once they're here, we can't get rid of them. I have one question. I guess the big question is that kept coming up in my head. You all are here for one reason, because these people and myself voted for you to sit in these seats. It's time that you stood up for us and do your job. I really believe you need to back these people, and it's like she needs a medal. I mean, the girl has gone beyond anything else. Once we get it, it's gone, right? It's there, and there's nothing you can do about it. And they're right, there's thousands of fish dead every day. But understand too, from what I understand through the grapevine, that every fish that dies, Cooks has insurance for that fish and they get their money back.
Oh, thank you.
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
No, they stopped that program.
No, they still have insurance.
They
if
still
we
have
may,
insurance.
If we may, the discussion should come
okay
to the chair.
But nevertheless,
but thank you.
Really and truly, it's time that our council of this little community needs to stand up for the people in their community. I really believe that. Get your drum out and beat it. The hell with the province. They're going to do what they want to do anyhow.
Yes.
Face it. It's us that you have to look after.
And
if you want to be in good
hands, when you do stand up for us, we are standing behind you.
That's
we
correct.
We have your back.
If not, you're
and
done.
And we can go to the province ourselves.
Any yeah other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Yes.
I'm Betsy Hyde. I'm 42 East Brooklyn Road. The Fair Cove Resource for the Seawick people, some of you meet us at market. I would like to just point out two things. Because everyone, of course, has got all the emotional, important things to say that are truly valid. We are welcome. But I don't want you to welcome Cook. and I'll tell you, one of the things about science, I am a math science person. We started our business out of an interest in environmental sustainability. We're pretty careful with what we do. We've been in business for 26 years, and we sell our seaweed to people who have chemical sensitivities as well as the people who have no issues at all. It's used in the public gardens in Halifax because it's a clean product. It's used by certified organic farmers because it's a clean product. Well, that's just incidental. That's my own thing. The really important thing is we know the government plans to have oversight. So I'm not going to say there's anything malicious in any of this. But when you read the paper says the fisheries inspector is going to be on site on a regular basis. For aquaculture, the aquaculture person representing the province is going to be there so that there will not be a month delay between the time some company, I'm going to say Cook because that's what we're talking about right now, has a fish failure. Or perhaps there's been a breaking up of nets and pens. And it is the property owner who calls and says, hey, guess what? Your stuff is all over my property and polluting all, in my case, my seaweed. So don't be misled into thinking that the writing that says that the government is going to hold Cook responsible for somebody to be on site, because they are on site a few times a year. And that's the real issue here. The thing is, there are levels of trust, and we like to trust, but you got to be smart about how you trust. And from a point of view of dollars, it costs the province a lot of money to have people come here all the time to say, yeah, you said you're going to do that, but I see on August 28th, a community member reported this, and on November 3rd, you went and had a look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the practical aspect of employment. All right. So please don't be misled into thinking that, those checks and balances in there are truly adhered to, because the oops factor is very high. The second thing I'd like you to consider is this. I particularly took great insult by Cook Aquaculture responding about this fish die-off here by paralleling it with the blueberry farmer last year. So blueberry farmers lost blueberries because of the frost. Those blueberries are not in cages. They could not, if they had no cages or no farmer around, they could not move. Fish are caged in a pen. Well, fish are pretty smart. If the water gets cold all of a sudden, they're going to go somewhere. They hide in seaweed, by the way, just a few hours. preoccupied on that. But they can't move. They're caged in there. Now, we can have the sympathy factor of, you know, we're that's another living creature. But we can also have the practical tax money factor. When those fish die off, whatever number, 3% doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, percentages, remember, some of you know, I'm not preoccupied. 3% can be a lot of, 3% of the dollar is only 3 cents. Keep raising those dollars. So when those fish die off, we're kind of responsible for that because we pay for them eventually. We pay for it through our taxes because that cleanup, there's portions that they'll get paid for as farmers. The blueberry farmer, if he's lucky, will get a percentage. I'm sorry, I forgot that percentage. Towards replacing the blueberries. But those blueberries, remember, were not kind of stuck out there in some turbulent whatever. We did have cold and high winds and heat. So, unexpected. But we have some empathy for that because it's truly unexpected. In the ocean, my business depends upon the turbulence of that ocean. We're out there watching all the time. We've written letters, but the purpose of our letters is to say, we're watching. We're watching the ocean. And we benefit when all of a sudden we get a storm surge. Cook does not. And we're going to pay Cook to replace that. So think about the head of Cook is not talking about a live species when he's talking about thinking about those fish. He's just talking about the blueberries. Well, I'm sorry. I need you to think about the practical realities of storm surges and the changing water temperatures, highs and lows. So those are my two real things. Think blueberries and think about how many people you see down there actually physically with their charts monitored, or how many divers are down there on a daily basis, because I want to see automation of that industry, preferably in wind. But I want you to have monitors that you know are going to work all the time, and you've got 24-hour, 364-plus days a year monitoring that for everything that we can see. So we reduce the upset. Thank you.
My name's Stan Wenzel. I live at 980 Brooklyn Shore Road. And I thought if it's okay with you folks, we could have a little bit of show and tell this way. I know it sounds a little kiddish, but this is just a bit of stuff that Brian and I gathered up off our property this morning. So do you mind? Can I share it around?
Sure.
So twice within the last 2 months, we've had I'll call it garbage, wash in from the cook operation. This is, you know, buoys and things that they have. And what's resulted is, if you want, just rub it between your fingers. This is what happens along our coastline when this stuff comes ashore. It breaks up into just little, very small beads. And I actually welcome and invite anyone here today to come down and visit us at the 980 Brooklyn Shore Road, because our coastline is peppered with individual beads. Peppered. It's disgusting. Twice in 1 month, and as well during that period of time, there was another escaped buoy. These are large navigational buoys that they did retrieve before it broke up. This is horrendous. You know, where's the accountability? We you know, our neighbor is attempting to sell property.
I know what you're
doing. It's terrible. It breaks up in these tiny little beads. And our coastline is peppered currently. Three properties in particular, one of which our neighbor is attempting to sell. Who's going to purchase that when you walk along the coastline? Really, I encourage you, you can't get a good appreciation for just how much damage and how nasty it is. And are you able to pick up these little beads effectively? No. It's really disgusting. So this is, you know, obviously it's a bit emotional for both myself and Brian here today, because this is what, you know, this is what we face. I'm wondering, okay, when is that nasty feeder going to wash in a storm? And when is that cage going to come? Because the buoys, they can't even anchor appropriately or properly. They're being released. So am I fearful? You betcha. Do I want to sell that property today, either one of our properties there today? No way. So anyway, there's a lot being said. But Julie, I encourage you, have a look. And I invite you down. This, I'm very serious. It's disgusting. Totally disgusting. Thank you.
Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning?
My name is Josh Moore. Actually, I live at 712 Brooklyn Shore Road. I grew up in Beach Meadows my whole life. Was born at 712 Brooklyn Shore Road. A couple of years ago, I made a significant investment and came back and redid my house. And now I'm quite worried. Going to happen if the proposed fish pens are going to be directly in front of my house. So I've made appeals, assessment appeals, and I suggest everybody along the harbor do the same. It's going to reduce the assessments, it's going to reduce income to the region, and I think that's one thing that the region, how it directly affects the region. I'm not going to get into the environmental issues as well. I think they've been talked about. So I also have a neighbor that everybody might know. They worked in the community for a long time, helping people. He just recently retired, and his property is on the harbor as well. He just did a significant investment as well. And now he's going to retire after helping the community, and he's going to stare at fish pens when he can enjoy it instead of enjoying himself at home looking out of the water. provincial agriculture department has stated in their House briefing notes from last year that their goal is to reestablish wild salmon in all the rivers in Nova Scotia. They're having some success with it up in, on the eastern shore, so they seem encouraged by that. When you look at the Department of Fisheries and Oceans science reports, they all say that having a salmon aquaculture site, the impacts of that site, meaning parasites, disease, the attraction of other predators, and the escapes that may happen, do not coincide with reestablishing wild salmon. Pardon me. They all work against that. So, given that, I've asked the council and Nemus and Mayor not to support this application. It works against the goals of the province and against whatever may happen with restoration in the sport fishing industry too, which is a big economic benefit. So, okay. That's all I want to say.
We'll wait for a follow-up until everyone else has spoken, if you don't mind. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? I have, yes.
Mary White, 1023 North East Shore Road. So I'd like to thank everyone today for taking time to come and express their opinions freely and without any fear of retribution. I forget sometimes how lucky we are. In some countries, such as authoritarian regimes, people are afraid to speak their minds because of fear that their government will hurt them in some ways if they do not always agree with what the regime says. Here in Canada, it would be illegal for a government official to threaten anybody because they didn't agree. This is why I believe that we live in the greatest democracy in the world. We're truly blessed to be Canadians and to be able to express ourselves peacefully, most of the time respectfully, and unbiased to elected officials in venues like this, although I think it's time that we head to town hall. Today, lots of people have spoken about the fish farm, and in the past many people have talked about the problems with it, and I'm sure we're all have our opinions made and whatnot, so there's not a lot for me to talk about there. So today I'd like to talk to my peers and our elected officials about complacency. Complacency is when you do nothing in the face of bad behavior. So when you see bad behavior, maybe even illegal behavior, instead of defending or helping those who are being taken advantage of, you actually do nothing. You're complacent. So when I was young, my parents tried to teach me right from wrong. They taught me that if I was complacent, it was as bad as committing the bad behavior myself, and that I should be ashamed of being too weak to standing up for those who were being hurt. If you see somebody who's being hurt or hurting a puppy or worse, and you do not try to stop that behavior or report it, you too are then guilty of the act of being complacent, and you might as well be beating that puppy yourself. If you know someone who's being threatened with retribution, such as loss of monetary funds, for not supporting the same opinion as someone in power over them, this is extortion. And in Canada, it's illegal. And complacency is no excuse for not reporting. People are usually complacent due to fear. It's easy to walk away, to not rock the boat, to turn the other cheek, and to not cause a scene. It takes real strength and a hero to stand up in the face of bullies, liars, fearmongers, and extortionists. They want you to be afraid because that's how they get power. They are bullies. It's easy to look away and to let them get away with this behavior, but if you do, it will not stop. They can't help themselves, and they will continue to lie and bully and extort until they get in their way or until they are stopped by trying to do it. This is anti-Canadian. And it goes against the reasons we all love and cherish being Canadian. So I want to stand before you today as a free and proud Canadian, and I urge the public and our elected representatives right here, right now, as free Canadians and representatives of Nova Scotia, voters in the region of Queens, not to be complacent anymore. I ask that you stand and take a stand with me and let it be known that we will not put up with fear mongering. We will not put up with extortionist tactics like threatening to withhold funds from the region of Queens if its residents oppose the expansion of the fish farm in Liverpool Bay, because that's just illegal. So if anybody cares, calls have been made. The province is not allowed to withhold financing from this region because they do not agree with them. It's an extortionist tactic. So I want everybody to be able to make a free opinion on their own based on the facts that they've gathered as to whether they want to support or not support the fish farm. I want people to know that they don't have to be in fear of the fact that they may not get financing down the road for something else because they've decided that they don't want the fish farm here, because that's just illegal. Thank you very much for your time.
Any other member of the gallery would like to speak?
Donna Dexter, 826 Eastern Shore Road, on behalf of Queen's Daycare, 108 College Street. I didn't come here this morning intending to speak on behalf of Queen's Daycare. I came to support the fish farm, and I think it's a very important issue. But I think people have said better than I can the reasoning behind that. What I'm here to ask about, and perhaps this is not the place to ask it, is regarding the community investment funds. I learned yesterday that Queen's Daycare's application was not approved. And so the reason given was that we did not show adequate financial need, which I cannot believe, because we have had 2 years with the deficit budget. We are close to breaking even this year. We've taken on $30,000 more of operating costs since we've taken over the building. We are working our butts off trying to make this work. So I don't see how. What I would like to do is ask, is there an appeal process, and is it possible for me to speak with the people who made this decision to find out how I could have better explained our financial need?
Our manager of, our director of recreation and healthy communities with a team reviewed all the applications which come to council today as recommendations. Council will, in a later part of the agenda today, make determinations on approvals of certain applications under CIF. I would suggest that the appropriate location to have that detailed discussion on finances and the issues surrounding the fund would be better made with Megan Roberts.
Yes.
At this point. And she would pull in those staff that she feels may be needed to answer your inquiries. We on council do appreciate all of the fine work that the daycare puts forward and the importance of daycare to all the citizens with children within the region of Queens. So it's not that there isn't a understanding of the importance of daycare. As I briefed through the agenda, I remember reading there that there is a recommendation based upon the need. And I think that conversation is better served to you to have directly with certainly Megan Roberts.
So if I discuss this with Megan and I see that either something was missed or there was some information that I should have provided that I didn't, is there an appeal process or is it a done deal?
Then, of course, that would be a discussion of council.
Okay. So I have to bring it back to council. Okay.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery who would like to speak this morning?